The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
That is why, also, starting with our administration, we gave TPS, temporary protected status, to Haitian migrants, 55,000. And then more recently, we extended temporary protected status to over 100,000 Haitian migrants for that very reason, that they need support, they need protection.
I am a resident of Springfield, Ohio, and I'm also a registered voter. I have a 20-year-old granddaughter who works two jobs, pays city tax. She works two jobs. She's pregnant. It took us 4 months to get Medicaid for that young lady. All of a sudden, now she can get the help, but we can't get through the doors of JFS to do anything. We can't get through it. The line is so long, and that's what we have done here in the city. We have just brought too many daggone people to come in here and be able to apply for free stuff, and here we are working, paying those taxes every week for what? What? So she can't get any help?
So I just got off the insurance company. Well, got off the phone with the insurance company and was told that my insurance went up because of the cost of doing business in my area. So I live in Springfield, Ohio, where the influx of Haitians are, and we have had an enormous amount of car accidents because they don't know how to drive. So now, because of that, my car insurance has gone up significantly. At the insurance company, I'm like, so you guys are making me pay, even though I have two drivers on the insurance that have never had an accident. You're making me pay because other people around here don't know how to drive? And she said, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. She said, the cost of doing business in your area has gone up exponentially, so we have to... So I'm going to share with you a video montage of a bunch of Haitian-caused accidents. Cue montage. You know, all these different factories that we've gotten in this area that are looking for employees, so they decided they're going to bus these people over. So now they have workers that they can underpay and overwork, and these people are living good. They're getting benefits, they're making good money, and they're calling their friends and their families, sending money back home and busing more people here. One third of our population is now Haitian immigrants.
I think the town's taking care of their local residents that were here first and foremost.
Oh, no. I've been trying to get a medical, just a simple Medicaid card since June. They took me off of, I'm a vet. They took me off of the disability and made me start paying for my own disability. They so backed up in there, they didn't ask me for the same information 3 times, and I done gave it to them 3 times, and they still sending me the same letters. So it's frustrating.
Is there a separation between French speakers, English speakers?
It's all one. They just have interpreters that hop between the windows as they come up.
Got it.
What do you think the split is between new Haitians that have come in here and...
Springfieldian OGs, if you will.
I don't know too much about all...
Observationally, what have you seen?
9-1 easy.
9-1?
Yeah, it seems like, for most part.
I live at 426 Northwestern Avenue. I'm done with what I'm seeing. It is so unsafe in my neighborhood anymore. I have the homeless that were trying to camp out, and I have made concessions with them, and I try to help them the best I can to keep them from trying to squat on my property. But it is so unsafe. I have men that cannot speak English in my front yard screaming at me, throwing mattresses in my front yard, throwing trash in my front yard. And I can't. I look at me. I weigh 95 pounds. I couldn't defend myself if I had to. My husband is elderly, and last night, after living in this home for 45 years, he said, Noelle, guess what? It's time to pack up and move.
These patients are running into trash cans. They're running into buildings. They're running into... They're flipping cars in the middle of the street. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me tonight, FaceTimed me this morning at the welfare office that really needs something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like, and who is getting paid? Like, how much money is y'all really getting paid, like, to bring them over here? Like, I know it's deeper than them. I know that's where they come from, and that's what they do. That's their country. I don't know what they got going on over there, but they can't do that over here.
Yeah, don't live in Ohio with a cat because yeah. it might get eaten, obviously. Yeah. By
Little Mittens is going to be,
I mean,
like,
it's sweeping the country. It's a terrible, terrible thing. This is absolutely ridiculous and scraping the bottom of the barrel. And J.D. Vance has been, you know, amplifying this, and it's being amplified. Oh, apparently, this has gone crazy on the kind of right-wing social media sites. Yeah. And it's the allegation. This comes with a very public health warning. Immigrants are not eating your cats.
Yes.
But the story is that Haitian immigrants are eating cats.
And this is how things have changed, Sam. I mean, there have always been crazy.
This is social media. This is
American
craziness of the internet.
The craziness of it is the internet, but also that you have people on the presidential ticket actually spreading these lies.
In this case, quite literally in succession, there's like 10 official accounts or unofficial accounts associated with Trump campaign that just amplified this completely manufactured story.
A complete lie. And
focus on the cat, whether that's true or not, and just totally, totally disregard the crisis in Springfield, Ohio. The invasion. Chaos by design. We've highlighted this at thetrumpet.com, both in the, well, our magazine version, the April issue, and then just the latest one, October, which I'll touch on as we proceed. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. So the residents in Springfield, they've had enough. They've had enough. And as you heard from the presidential candidate, she was proudly saying a couple years ago, yeah, we're giving safety and comfort and security and social handouts, all of these government handouts to Haitians coming in because of the violence in their country. And well, as you heard from the local residents, for some reason, let's send 20,000 of them to Springfield. And they're getting in all these kinds of car accidents. They're killing animals in the park. They're causing violence. There's been a case of murder. J.D. Vance brought attention to that. But never mind that, says Morning Joe. It's just a hoax. It's just a conspiracy theory. You want to hear what J.D. Vance tweeted out? And this makes them angry at the Morning Meltdown. He says, in the last several weeks, my office has received many inquiries from actual, he's from Ohio, he represents Ohio, from actual residents of Springfield who've said their neighbors' pets or local wildlife were abducted by Haitian immigrants or migrants. It's possible, of course, that all of these rumors will turn out to be false, but do you know what's confirmed? That a child was murdered by a Haitian migrant who had no right to be here, that local health services have been overwhelmed. You heard that from the residents. It says that communicable diseases like TB and HIV have been on the rise, that local schools have struggled to keep up with the newcomers who don't know English, that rents have risen so fast that many Springfield families can't afford to put a roof over their head. And yet, Morning Joe, the meltdown, they have a good laugh over it. It's just funny, this invasion. It's not funny to the people of Springfield. People of all colors, by the way. They're upset. They're fearful. They're fearing for their safety. This is all by design.
You know, this was after and we just had the Afghanistan report come out, but this was after the pullout of Afghanistan, the disaster that was Joe Biden's and Kamala. I mean, she was right at the heart of it. She was, just like she was right at the heart of giving that temporary protected status to Haitians. So you can't even deport them because of the special status and safety and protection that the U.S. government is giving to the Haitians, not to the residents of Springfield, not to the ones that pay their taxes, as that one woman brought out, but to Haitians. Let's give them extra perks and send them all to Springfield. It's all by design. That's what we said after the disastrous Afghanistan pullout just a few years ago. This was at the Trump. If you don't have a subscription, by the way, call our operators today and request a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine, the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. Maybe before we finish off with this immigration, we could just play it. There's a couple of clips we have on that Afghanistan report that's just come out this week. Play clip 10.
Well, the report is just, it's damning. It tells us a lot of what we already knew about the withdrawal from Afghanistan and the failure there, the worst humiliation of the United States since the fall of Saigon in 1975. It also tells us about the cover-up and the involvement of Vice President Harris, the national security advisor that was just mentioned. Jake Sullivan has said just last week that Harris was a, quote, central member of the national security decision-making team. And Harris herself said she was the last person in the room when President Biden made these terrible decisions.
She was right at the center of it and bragged later. I'm the last one to leave the Situation Room. Yeah, we're proud of this. It's just like she said at the top of the cold open. In fact, play that again. Just play the first, I think it's 20 seconds of the cold open.
That is why, also, starting with our administration, we gave TPS, temporary protected status, to Haitian migrants, 55,000. And then more recently, we extended temporary protected status to over 100,000 Haitian migrants for that very reason, that they need support, they need protection.
I am a resident.
They need support. They need protection. Not the residents of Springfield. It's all by design. This woman here doesn't matter. It's just the Haitians that evidently have trouble driving. It's just the Haitians that need support and protection. And then they know, you see, they know they can get away with it. I'm talking about the fake president. I'm talking about Kamala Harris. I'm talking about the dear leader. They brag about it openly. We're inviting in the world. All the criminals along with everyone else, we're just inviting them in. And then they can rely on Morning Joe to say, oh, come on. Look at all these rumors and conspiracies that are being spread through social media. So many lies, says Joe Scarborough. How rich is that? To talk about J.D. Vance spreading lies, to make a big deal about the cat story, which may or may not be true, but still, you've got one resident say they're killing they're killing geese at the park for food. They're crashing cars. Insurance costs are going up. So is housing. Everything is. Social or welfare. I mean, it's just bankrupting the system. And it's all by design. It's how the dear leader drew it up. It's what they want. This is in Baltimore. It's obviously this problem's not limited to Springfield alone. I mean, it's in the last 3.5-4 years, 15 to 20 million illegals have just poured into the country. In Baltimore, there was an illegal that was arrested for rape, and he'd been in and out of the country several times. He's sent back or deported. Then he comes right back in. According to ICE, this is the 153rd non-citizen sex offender to be apprehended this year in Maryland. You know the little state of Maryland? 153 sex offenders who are not U.S. citizens. This is just one state. This is just a small state at that, a state with a couple of big cities, yes. But 153? That's right, just this year. That, my friends, is what you call a migrant crime wave, as President Trump keeps saying. It is a crime wave. He's acknowledging the reality that people on the streets see every day. And at least in Springfield, the residents have had enough. They're fed up. This is from the New York Post. Martha's Vineyard, getting a little close to it, where the dear leader likes to vacation one of his four or five mansions around the world. It says here, an illegal immigrant has been arrested and slapped with multiple child rape charges. Child rape at Martha's Vineyard. Just months after being freed from prison for strangling someone. It says here, Brazilian national, I mean, the criminals pouring into the country, I'm sure they love the freebies and the benefits that they get, but how much must they love our criminal justice system? Yeah, I can head up there and rape children and then go to prison, but only be in for a few months and I'll get right back out. I'll get right back out. They love the U.S. criminal justice system as well. It's probably not like that in any way back where they're from, where they'd go off to the slammer for maybe decades. Up here, they're in, it's like they're in and out of the country. They're also in and out of the prison system. Isn't that nice? Brazilian national Warley Neto, 24, was taken into custody by the feds in the upmarket liberal enclave after he was indicted on 5 counts of raping a Massachusetts minor and 5 counts of enticing a minor under 16 earlier this year. This is according to ICE, you know, the immigration authorities. Neto had illegally crossed into the U.S. near Paso del Norte, Texas, in March of 2018, but was released from custody after being served with a notice to appear before the immigration judge at a later date. He popped back up on ICE's radar in February last year after he was arrested by local cops in Martha's Vineyard on a slew of charges, including strangulation, assault and battery on a family or household member, and a threat to commit a crime. It's just happening all over the place. The migrant crime wave. Neto, who was found guilty on the charges in June of 2023, was sentenced to a year in prison, but was freed after the district judge suspended all but 90 days of the sentence. So the judge wants to be lenient. He's off to prison for a year. Let's just shorten that to 90 days. Let him back out so he can rape children multiple times. Details of the attacks, well, and it goes on. You look at this recent Fox News story, they're not only committing acts of terror, they are terrorizing Americans. And Deuteronomy 28 has something to say about that. If you haven't gotten the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, make sure you call our operators and secure your copy and see. These things are prophesied in your Bible. And it's just getting worse and worse. And our magazine, the Trumpet magazine, you can see why we've highlighted it on the cover. 2 issues this year. But besides the criminality, they're coming up to America and they're taking away jobs from citizens. I saw a PBS segment this morning, by the way, about, and it was in the same tone as the morning meltdown that you saw at the end of the cold open. They got together with a factory, I don't know if he was the CEO, but he's basically managing this factory in Springfield. And he's there saying, hey, I have 30 migrants working for me, 30 Haitians. And if I had my choice, I'd get 30 more. I'd get 30 more. And then PBS, of course, is there to say, this is just wonderful. This is revolutionizing Ohio. This is making Springfield just a wonderful utopian atmosphere. No, it isn't. What is wrong with the regime media that they would just spew so many lies? You know going in. I will be here tomorrow on this show to let you know that the regime media says that Kamala just crushed it in the debate. Let's go ahead and give you the headline now. How about it? Yeah, she's never been better. Everybody discounted her. Everybody thought, well, she doesn't give too many interviews, so Donald Trump's really going to crush her. But it didn't happen. You can almost hear it right now from Morning Meltdown. We'll see. I've been surprised maybe once or twice over the years we've been doing this program. But for the most part, you just shake your head in disbelief. How can these people get away with the lies every day? You know, but from our standpoint, I mean, what more proof do you need that America is under attack? We're being attacked. The residents of Springfield, they're being attacked. They're taking away the jobs as well. This is from Fox News. The latest data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows a significant divergence in employment trends between native-born Americans and foreign-born workers over the past 12 months. It says, according to the August jobs report, U.S.-born workers lost more than 1.3 million jobs, while foreign-born workers gained over 1.2 million jobs. What? You could see why they want the illegals to be able to vote. These are the constituents of Kamala Harris, of the dear leader, of the Democrat Party. Bring them in. It doesn't matter if it hurts Americans, if it hurts the ones that are paying taxes, if it hurts the ones that are having to work two jobs just to make ends meet. What country does this to themselves? Just because maybe they don't understand, or this is by design. Just like that August or October 2021 magazine of ours brought out. It's all by design. It's all part of the fundamental transformation. You can see why there's a big push coming from Democrats to make sure that you don't have to show ID to vote. Just show up. Sign the ballot and carry on. Oh, and make sure you choose Kamala and then carry on. The Trumpet magazine, we don't have the print version here with us just yet. It'll be out any day, but it's been posted at the website if you want to go look at it. Expose the United States invasion route. There you see the title. And all of these illegals just pouring across into the United States of America. And then somehow 20,000 of them, they end up in the little town of Springfield. It says here, this is from Andrew Miller. Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury has pinpointed former President Barack Obama as responsible for actively using illegal immigration and its resulting social problems to transform America into a socialist state. You heard the social worker in the cold open. How many of the people coming through here are Haitian? I think it's 9-1. 9-1. This is how you bankrupt a country. This is how you turn America into a socialist state. It says here, nearly 2/3 of Americans believe illegal immigration is a crisis. Still, Biden is doing next to nothing to stop the flow. In fact, people who worked for Obama are actively bringing aliens from all over the world to Latin America so they can join the caravans streaming to the border. Yeah, I think it was the black guy in the cold open that said, they're bringing their nation here. Wasn't it Donald Trump a few years ago who was accused of calling Haiti, you know, a garbage nation? He used some profanity. But he called them a garbage nation. And then, Morning Meltdown and everyone, they were appalled. They couldn't believe it. Well, it turns out He's right, because Haiti's being run by gangs. And that gang mentality, some of that's coming into the United States of America. They're bringing their home country with them. It's the same with the Venezuelan gangs in Aurora, Colorado. Isn't it a shame that, like I said yesterday on the show, that for this to get the national attention it deserves, it takes a cat. There's people being raped and murdered. There are apartment complexes being taken over by illegal migrant gangs. And they're bringing in guns. Where are the gun control people? They're bringing in guns and they're terrorizing American cities. But you'd never know it if you tune in regularly to the Morning Meltdown, just like Joe Biden does. They're living in their fantasy world. In their minds, it's never been better because we're in control, you see. It doesn't matter that ordinary Americans suffer as long as they maintain their grip on power. That's the objective. That and the fundamental transformation of the United States. The Trumpet article says here, the border crisis is the result not of incompetence, but of treason. There you go. See, chaos by design, just like we said a few years ago. Whether it's Afghanistan or the wide open border, this is a result of treason. This is all part of the fundamental transformation. It says here, the UN and various drug cartels bring migrants to the U.S. border, but it is radical Obama-connected U.S. officials who open the border. Kamala's there bragging about it a couple years ago. Yeah, that's why we gave 55,000 temporary status or protection. And then we added 100,000 more. Why not? Why not? It says here, many analysts think demographic shifts caused by immigration could turn Texas into a Democrat voting state within an election cycle. They're just a few years away. If they can keep these 20 million in the United States, or just flip Texas. Once you flip Texas to a blue state, they're in power forever. That's the way they view it. That's what's at play here. It says here, he refers to America under attack, explaining that God will bring Donald Trump back to power. This is toward the end of Andrew's article. It says God's going to bring Trump back to power as a means of stabilizing the nation for a short time. There could be violence marring Trump's return as the left fights to keep him from office, but this violence will be minor. It will be minor compared to the savagery that awaits if people don't take advantage of this last opportunity for unmerited pardon. It says, right now, the big question regarding fulfilled prophecy is how Donald Trump will regain power. That's a quote from America Under Attack. It says, America is in the throes of an Obama regime that is rapidly driving the nation toward radicalism, socialism, amorality, class division, civil war, and outright destruction. That's right. And where are the people who would rally in support of Donald Trump? Well, there's a lot of them in the country, I should say. There's not very many of them in the swamp, though. Not very many. You see so much weakness on even the Republican side. If I can, here it is. It's Sundance talking about Democrats and Republicans. He had something to say about Mershon delaying his sentencing hearing till late November, and how that's not necessarily a good thing in his view, a good thing for Donald Trump, that is. But he says here, the Democrats are wicked, conniving, and horrible. The Republicans are devious, cunning, and deceitful. Either way, it's not so good. I mean, and if truth be told, Republicans have turned a blind eye to the wide open border for decades. For decades. The truth is, the Republican establishment, they want this too. It seems as if Donald Trump's the only one who will do something to shut the border. It says here, both wings of the Uniparty are evil, But Democrats attack you straight on while Republicans whisper in your ear and make you kill yourself. It's that last part about how Republicans operate with hatred that should make every person pause each time they hear a new element announced. Pause and ask, how can the GOP use this information to hurt me? Because I guarantee that is what they will do every time. Where is the GOP? Last I heard, Ohio's got a Republican governor. You know, it's easy, like you saw in the cold open, to point to what Kamala's done with the fake president, the dear leader. Where's the Republicans in Ohio to help their own residents? I mean, they're there paying state taxes too. Well, the answer is they're just weak. And many of them, like Sundance says, they've got their own issues. They're carrying out their own sins. Look at how evil the Uniparty is. But thankfully, they never cheat on elections. They're working right now to cheat. They're crunching the numbers now, like I said yesterday, to see if they can get the 3% of harvested ballots they need to carry Pennsylvania. We might need 4% because Trump's really popular right now. Listen to Liz Cheney. She's a Republican. She's bragging about always voting for Republicans, except this time because of, you guessed it, Donald Trump. Clip 5.
If you look at Vice President Harris's speech, for example, at the Democratic convention, it is a speech that Ronald Reagan could have given. It's a speech that George Bush could have given. You contrast that with what we hear from Donald Trump again on a daily basis, that America is a failing nation, that America is a laughing stock. The trash talking of the United States of America very much is part of the message that Donald Trump is pushing. And so at the end of the day, I think it's important for people to recognize he's not a conservative.
Sundance says there is no scenario where the professional Republican apparatus will accept Donald Trump and us MAGA supporters. Failing to remember this is akin to trusting a Republican never-Trumper. Don't trust him, he says. They're liars. They're deceivers. They may not come with a full frontal assault like Democrats, but they're all part of the Uniparty. And there she is, speaking for the Uniparty. Hey, Kamala's speech at the convention, it's just like George W. Bush. Well, you're probably right about that. We're still waiting for GW to put his endorsement into the ring for Kamala. You know, the one that's just proudly talking about the temporary protection status given to the Haitians. Springfield is pro-Trump. I'm just going to go out on a limb and state that and give you some commentary. I believe it's pro-Trump. Why? Well, look at the streets. Look at the streets of Springfield. Here's one more from our friend Liz Cheney. This is clip 6.
So, bottom line, why did you make this decision to support Harris, and why did you do it now?
Yeah, I've been voting for 40 years. My first vote I ever cast was for Ronald Reagan in 1984. I've never voted for a Democrat.
Wow.
It tells you, I think, the stakes in this election. You know, Donald Trump presents a challenge and a threat fundamentally to the Republic. We see it on a daily basis. Somebody who was willing to use violence in order to attempt to seize power, to stay in power. Someone who represents unrecoverable catastrophe, frankly, in my view. And we have to do everything possible to ensure that he doesn't, that he's not reelected. Given how close this race is, in my view, again, it's not enough. You have many Republicans out there who are saying, well, you know, we're not going to vote for him, but we will write someone else in.
Right.
And I think that this time around, that's not enough.
Donald Trump uses violence to stay in power. Just try to wrap your mind around that one for a moment. Because here are these Democrats who, like my father has written, will do anything they can to stay in power. They're inviting in the world, including the criminals, the gang members. They're ignoring all the violence because those are future Democrat voters. In other words, they're using violence to stay in power. She accuses Trump of using violence, I presume, on January 6th, when there was no violence, a little vandalism. There was nobody had a weapon. Nobody was murdered except for Trump supporters. She accuses Trump of using violence to stay in power, even as her party, we'll just call it what it is, her Democrat Party is using violence to get more votes, to stay in power. America's under attack. She ignores the actual violence, does Cheney. She ignores it. It'll be interesting to see how that this debate unfolds tonight. And if Kamala is just going to resort to, listen, I'm talking, just the back and forth. How does she defend her policies? Peter Ducey yesterday was saying that, you know, she posted policies, her platform, finally. I think it was done overnight. And then we come to find out that a lot of it's just a cut and paste job from Biden's policies. So again, which is it? Is she distancing herself from Biden because his policies are so disastrous? Or is she just cut from the same cloth? Well, of course she is. But then to try to present it as if she's just this new, fresh face. She's the new and improved Kamala. The moderators will do everything in their power to try to tell you that, to try to frame it just like that, so that you know that Kamala's great. I mean, she's popular. The people in Springfield love her. You know, the conspiracy about the cat, I mean, come on. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump brings, if he brings up the migrant crime, the crime wave, if one of Kamala's defenses is, well, now, come on, the cat conspiracy, are you really going there? You do feel for the poor people of Springfield who are seeing their city, their community, being destroyed. Coming back to the debate tonight, here's Fox Business's take on that, clip 9.
Tonight's 90-minute debate is going to be hosted by David Muir and Lindsay Davis. A new Media Research Center study shows that Muir, who's the lead anchor of ABC's evening show World News Tonight, hosts the most pro-Harris left-leaning newscast out of the big three, ABC, CBS, and NBC. Analysts reviewed all 100 campaign stories that have aired on Muir's show since President Biden dropped out, which was just June, if you can believe it. 100% have been dubbed as clearly positive by the Research Center. The newscast coverage of Trump was 93% negative. So the media's role in tonight as well is going to be in focus, as is the moderators.
Yes, I think it's fair to say Trump will have a few opponents tonight, and it won't just be Kamala Harris.
For sure. He's going against Kamala, he's going against Muir, and he's going against, what's the other lady, Lindsay Davis. All three of them. Look at the lopsided coverage. And then these people say that it's Vance. J.D. Vance is lying? Really? 100% positive for Kamala. 93% negative for Donald Trump. And yet Trump, he shows up. The man's got a backbone. The man has a backbone. He'll do any interview. He'll step right into the hornet's nest. Can't very well say the same about Kamala. I'll get to a story here in a second if we have time about her her disappearing act when it comes to media engagements. This, though, is Jesse Waters' suggestion to the former president for tonight, clip 7.
Trump shouldn't call Kamala's change of positions flip-flops. He should just call them lies. She's a secretive lady, dependent on her handlers to survive. And the same people who ran Biden will run her. But this time, it'll be even more liberal. She's a California socialist, out of step with the rest of the country. And if Trump keeps her on defense, he wins. Mark Thiessen writes that Kamala hasn't been able to answer the most simple and obvious question. if you were elected, what would you do on day one? How can someone run for president of the United States and not have a ready answer to that question? She had nothing to offer but a cringe-inducing word salad. A moment like that on the debate stage with tens of millions watching could be fatal.
I like how he says the same people running Joe Biden will run Kamala Harris, except it'll be worse. They're getting close to what's in this book, America Under Attack. And we've noted that for several months now. It used to be nobody would connect the dots to the dear leader. Nobody. This book, of course, does it. Make sure you get a free copy. No cost, no obligation. I said yesterday on the show, my father's been working to add new content to this book as well, because the attack continues, as you're seeing in Springfield. The invasion continues. The fundamental transformation continues. Roll Call says about tonight's debate, the vice president had narrow leads nationally in a list of polls released in the past few weeks, but her campaign got a surprise Sunday when a New York Times Siena College survey put Trump up 1 percentage point, suggesting her surge after President Joe Biden dropped out has ended. But a strong debate performance against the unpredictable bare-knuckle debater Trump could give her White House bid a boost with less than 2 months until Election Day. That's the hopeful thinking coming from the regime media. And they'll do everything that they can tonight to make sure that you go away from it, knowing that she crushed it. She crushed it. Americans love her. They love her policies. I mean, 2/3 think there's a crisis at the border, but let that go. Just let that go. We're going to give temporary protection status to as many as we can. And then we'll send them to the Midwest. Maybe we can turn Ohio blue. Or if they stay in South Texas, if we could just turn Texas blue, then we can stay in power forever. Listen to this from, this is MSNBC on what Kamala is going up against in Trump, clip 8.
It may not be obvious to people who are not regular political consumers just how much Trump lies. But that's why so many candidates, including Republicans, have found Trump is hard to debate. Now, Harris, for her part, has shown an assertive style, including on these kind of issues and truth and lies, when she was in debates and running against the Trump-Pence ticket last cycle.
Donald Trump, on the other hand, has been about covering up everything.
Thanks. We're about freedom and respecting the freedom of the American people.
Let's talk about respecting the American people. You respect the American people when you tell them the truth.
Nice. Wow, what a zinger. Trump lies and she tells the truth. Well, as Jesse said, regarding all of her flip-flops, Trump should just go in and say, you're lying. You're lying to the American people. You're lying to the residents at Springfield. People are hurting because of inflation. Some of you may have seen the ad that the Trump campaign put out of Kamala debating herself, basically. On the one hand, she's saying how great Bidenomics is. And on the other hand, she's talking about how difficult it is for Americans to make ends meet because of inflation, because of rising costs for everything. It's a brutal, brutal take on her policies of flip-flopping and lying and carrying out an agenda that is hurting people, that is hurting legitimate citizens and helping those who get into the country illegally. You look at Springfield, and how could the migrants in Venezuela or Haiti or Central America or China or Afghanistan or anywhere else in the world, how could they not line up? I'm coming in. I want to get into the welfare system. Or if they're willing to work, I'll go ahead and apply for that factory job in Springfield. And then all the criminals coming in with them, bringing in their guns, trafficking sex, minors, drugs. This is how nations die, as I've said so many times. Die by suicide. This is from The Hill. Democrats are privately acknowledging growing anxiety over the Tuesday night debate between Harris and Trump, arguing that how Harris performs could go a long way in defining her as a candidate. So behind closed doors, they're expressing concern. The regime media out front this evening, I mean, they'll do whatever they can to put a positive spin on it. But inside of those offices or places where the Democrat strategists are meeting, they're a little concerned. They're worried. Where's that one from Jake Tapper? Play clip three.
Misha, let me say, it's not overblown to say this is the biggest moment of her political life. It's an incredibly consequential one, and there's still so much that people don't know about her.
Wow, well, surprise, surprise. That's because she won't do interviews, even with you. Even with Jake Tapper. She can't do it. She can't do it. She's got to have the script there. And tonight's the one exception, because she can't appear to be a coward politically, so she's got to go up against President Trump. Now, just keep in mind that someone on the chat, by the way, just said that Trump dodges bullets while Kamala dodges journalists. There you go. But keep in mind, speaking of dodging bullets, all of the miracles that have worked in Trump's favor since he was left for dead. He was left for dead after he left office, peacefully, by the way, even after the election was stolen. Never mind Liz Cheney's take. He left peacefully, and he was left for dead. And like one of our news gatherers said, he's like the Apostle Paul. Where was it? Iconium, I think it was. He was stoned to death, or at least they thought he was dead. And then Paul just gets up, he dusts himself off, and he carries on with God's work. The hand of God was behind surviving an assassination attempt. And before that, all the lawfare. And before that, all the impeachments and the deep state spying on him, harassing him. The Mueller investigation. It's remarkable. And it's really not something that you can explain unless you understand what God is orchestrating behind the scenes. So you got to keep that in mind as you go into tonight's debate. It says here, Harris's public appearances have been tightly scripted since President Biden exited the race and handed her the baton. And a long evening behind the debate podium with only a pad of paper, a pen, and a bottle of water presents an array of uncertainties that makes Democrats nervous. Why would they be nervous? Just stand behind your policies. Hey, if you're proud of bringing in 155,000 Haitians, just tell everybody. See how that goes over. They can't do it. Isn't it amazing? This is The Hill. I mean, this is part of the regime. And they talk about Biden stepping aside. You remember what led up to that, the disastrous debate? And then, without even getting one single vote during the primaries, they just install Kamala. And then everything she does has to be carefully scripted. Do they hear themselves? Even the reporters here. Do you hear what you're saying? This is the United States of America. Put it to the popular vote. See what the American people have to say. This is the regime, though, and so they're going to cover it a little differently. It says Ray Zaccaro, a Democratic strategist and former Senate aide, said Democrats are mindful that the high-stakes debate could be catastrophic or monumental after Biden's campaign was derailed by the June 27 debate against Trump. So Trump's going up against three people and all the networks, except maybe Fox and Newsmax. And we'll see what happens. Here's a clip from Axios. I guess he's on one of the talk shows. Clip one.
I do want to note, you have recently written about how Harris is copying President Biden's self-protection media strategy. Does that work for her when you look at this new New York Times polling showing 28% of likely voters say they need to know more about her?
You know, Democratic strategists are really split on this exact question, because on one level, you could argue that sort of doing this protective media strategy is avoiding any sense of gaffes. And let's remember that some of her worst moments as vice president were in some of these unscripted interview moments. She is not usually as comfortable in those settings. At the same time, by not doing interviews, she still has not done one solo interview. By not doing interviews, she has raised the stakes for every unscripted moment that she has. That's why tomorrow night's debate has really become this really pivotal moment for her, because the fact is that a lot of Americans, as many as 30%, say that they don't know enough about her yet.
The New Republic says Kamala Harris can't keep running like this. She's not going to be able to keep up with it. Will she try to do this seriously all the way through November 5th? They write, the campaign strategy, it seemed, was to ride those good summer vibes and avoid the risk of an aggressive policy agenda that would expose her to criticism. But having too few policies is also risky, not least because it makes Harris look like she doesn't stand for anything, and also because her few policy stances then get nitpicked to death. Her price gouging solution was roundly criticized by economists across the political spectrum, while her tip policy has come under fire because it was first taken up by Trump. She's just all over the place. She's all over the map. The Harris campaign is only now belatedly realizing that this is a problem. On Sunday, they finally added an issues section to her website. It includes a slew of policies that the campaign has previously outlined, as well as sections on reproductive and civil rights. It says, unfortunately for Harris, its release was undermined by a simple but telling error. The page's source code revealed that parts of the platform were copied directly from Biden's campaign page. They can't even create a unique page. They've got to use Biden's. They plagiarized it, in other words. Isn't it perfect, though? It's exactly what you would expect from all of this fakery. She's fake. She's phony. She's going to be run by the same people that run Joe Biden, to paraphrase what Jesse said. And to be more precise, to be more specific, that would be the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. This last piece, I only have a minute or so, but it's from Chronicles magazine about America's last chance going into the election. It says, watching the mainstream press coverage of the 2024 election might lead one to believe America has somehow been transported to the more temperate days of the 1990s. The economy is issue number one. The bland talk of the, well, further on, let me just get to the conclusion. It says, Trump's popular movement is all that is standing in the way of the totalitarian left and their plans for a borderless authoritarian dystopia. He has rallied millions of otherwise leaderless Americans against this grim fate. MAGA has become a big tent, not for conservatives only, but independents and moderates who believe in common sense, sovereign borders, and free speech. Talks about the new people that have joined his campaign. It says, once freedom is lost, it won't come back. Further down, Trump is giving Americans a last chance to liberate their country once and for all. The stakes in the fight are existential, and defeat is not an option. What are we? Today is Tuesday, so 7 or 8 weeks away. I forget which one it is. This is what's at stake. America Under Attack gives you God's perspective behind all of these events, this whirlwind of activity going on here in the United States. That's all we have time for on today's show. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.